Good evening. Welcome to Lighthouse Baptist Church. This is our first time at live streaming. We're glad to have you here, and I'm Pastor Sterling Walsh. Our gentlemen have put together a program here this evening, and we appreciate them being able to do that such short notice. And we're just grateful to have you here. And if you have any difficulty, we begin here making this work, you can call into the church, and they can give you some direction on what we need to do. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to begin with a word of prayer. And then we'll have our evening time. Father, we thank you for the opportunity for our hearts and our souls to join together in one to you. And Lord, there's a lot of things going on in our country these days, and in our own households and now in our own county. And Lord, we pray for these dear folks and the ones who are fighting this virus. And we know that this is a difficult time. And yet, Lord, we know that you're on the throne. We know that you love us, you care for us, and nothing has gotten past your desk. You know exactly what's going on, and you have allowed it. Now, Lord, we ask you that you will speak to our hearts, and I hope and pray that our folks will open their hearts and be transparent to God and allow him to do a work in our hearts that he's intended. And so, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity here. Now, Lord, use our time here this evening. I want to be a blessing to each one, and we'll give a little bit of instruction here. Lord, I pray that you'll bless us, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. I want to thank you for joining in with us here this evening and give you a couple instructions. This is all new to us. My wife and I were joking, and we said that my worst nightmare has come. I always thought I'm going to show up one day to church, and no one's going to be there to listen to me preach but her. And other than our sound man and our video men, that's the truth. But we're glad that you are here with us tonight, and that we are be able to accomplish some things we need to do. I've often said I have a face for radio, but we're going to have to go a little further than that tonight, and we will do this right on the small screen. A couple of announcements I want to give before we go ahead and get into our Bible study tonight. Of course, due to the virus and the governmental recommendations, Lighthouse Christian School, Lighthouse Baptist Church will be closed through Sunday, March 29th. Now, we will reevaluate that at the time and determine if we can reopen. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of things will transpire between now and then. But in the meantime, we do want to have our services available to you. And so there will be live streamed on our website, as you are, if you're here, at 9:30 on Sunday school, 10:30 in the morning, and again Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. And then Wednesdays, as we're starting here tonight at 7 p.m. Lord willing, we'll also be able to have these services archived, so you can come back and listen to them again or listen to them at your convenience. And we have been contemplating this for some time, and our staff joined forces, and we're able to pull this together quite quickly. And I appreciate it very, very much. You'll also find a link on our Facebook page, as if folks were asking. And our Facebook page, facebook.com/LBC Greater York. And there's also may be instructions soon on there on watching how you can watch on via the YouTube, if that would be of help. Our Youth Ablaze actually have their own services being live streamed this evening. And that will be every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And that is facebook.com/LBC Youth Ablaze. facebook.com/LBC Youth Ablaze. Ablaze, and I appreciate Pastor Nathan Walsh doing that, and it will be working out fine there. Our co-mission conference, which is scheduled for next week, not this coming weekend, but the following weekend, we will be doing live stream. We have been doing some work to be able to still make this work. Some of our speakers will probably not be here. Some may actually be here from our studio, but some will not. But we will do our best to do that, and that, of course, will begin on Sunday morning on the 29th. We'll have Monday night at 7 o'clock and Tuesday night at 7 o'clock and Tuesday morning at 10 and 11. And there may be some question and answer time, if possible, if we can make that work. So I hope you'll join us for those times. Again, we will archive those services, and you'll be able to see them then at your own convenience. So we thank you very much for being patient during this unprecedented time. And this is a strange time for all of us, but we can work together. Now, if you'd like to contact us, of course, you can call the church and leave a message. If you look at the website and you go underneath staff, you can click on the names of the staff members, and you can on their page you can then contact them via email, or of course you can call the church at 717-292-5000. We will try to get back to you as soon as we can, and I appreciate that. And we want you to send in your prayer requests and so forth. So at this time, these crazy times, is it not a time to walk away from the Lord? It's a time to allow your relationship with Him to get sweeter and closer, not wax cold. You know, idle time, and we are going to spend a lot of time at home, and they're telling us just to stay away from everybody else and stay home. And idle time and idle minds are fertile ground for sinful thoughts and activities. So I want to encourage you to keep yourself busy with good things. Spend time in the Word of God. You often have said we didn't have time. Well, you now have time. Listen to sound preaching online. Of course, you can get our messages online through the website. What we'll be starting will be video, but of course, a lot of audio recordings there already. And if you have any questions, you know, or how to make all this work, please call us again at the church. We will have someone give you a call back if they're not there at the moment. And again, it's 717-292-5000. And we're looking at the second part of our message that we gave 2 weeks ago. And I believe it or not, it's almost more appropriate now than it was 2 weeks ago. If we say we have fellowship with the Lord and we're walking in darkness, we're lying to ourselves. We think we're fine, not knowing that we have departed from the Lord. Not that we have lost our salvation, but we are not as near to Him in time of trouble as we thought. Before we move on in there, let me say one other thing I have forgotten to say. A few folks have asked me about giving to the ministry and at this time. And of course, we still have salaries and a mortgage to pay. And even if the ministries are somewhat on hold during this time, we still have to take care of all those needs. And so offerings can be sent to the Lighthouse Baptist Church at 5005 Carlisle Road, Dover, Pennsylvania, 17315, where you can give online by way of the website. And again, that should be self-explanatory, but if you have any issue with that, feel free to call us and we will help walk you through that first time. And I hate to even talk about money, but I know that's one of those things we all need to tend to. And you do what you can. Lord will provide our needs, but you know, our faithfulness to the Lord is always important. And it's when the times get tough and we find out whether our faithfulness is true or not. And so goes a time such as this as we study the Word. Let me go ahead and begin in our passage tonight. And we're gonna begin reading in John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse number 4. And we will pick up where we left off a couple weeks ago. John chapter 13, verse number 4. And it says, He riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. Of course, this is the Last Supper, the last night that Jesus was alive on earth, and he has his disciples together. They're there for the Passover, but it's also the last night of final training, emergency training, if you will. He is about ready to be crucified, and he will be going through some very difficult times the next 24 hours. But he's actually preparing them for the next years and years to come. Because as he will say, as he was in the world, so we are sent to be in the world. As he was the light of the world, his disciples and those who will come in would be the light of the world. And so he's preparing them. Just as he was persecuted, they're going to be persecuted. He's already said earlier that he's telling them these things because when these things come to pass, not to question their calling, not to question what he's done, but to realize that this is all part of the plan. And if they persecuted the master, they will certainly persecute the servants. And so he's trying to give them some instruction. And here he's trying to encourage them to be an encouragement one to another. So he rises from supper, verse 4, laid aside the garment and took a towel and girded himself. Gird means there to put on tightly. I mean, he became part of who he was. He took off what he was and put on who he was. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And then cometh to Simon Peter, and saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not wash, save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? It's the last evening. The Lord will give his disciples some final instructions before he's crucified. There will be three long days of heartache and questioning and soul searching as his body lays in the tomb. But Jesus will rise the third day and then be in the area 40 more days, showing himself to those alive before ascending to heaven. Disciples are going to be on their own soon. Not always going to be smooth sailing. In fact, there are going to be some very difficult times. Jesus warns them and tells them he's doing so that they will not be caught off guard when the tough times come. And in the midst of his final instructions, there are several things Jesus wants to admonish them about. He's encouraged them to finish well themselves, just as he has done. He loved his own until the end, we read earlier. The testimony that the disciples are to have is that they also love one another. And going along with living together with one another and loving one another, they are to serve one another rather than just to see who they can get the upper hand over. If we're going to stay right with others, we're going to have to stay right with God. And if I'm not right with others, then I will have failed to follow the command of God, and I will thus no longer be right with God. And it's so easy for us to get dirty living in the world. And we see that in the washing of his feet, just as they traveled through life. Oh, yes, they're clean, but just their contact with the world makes them dirty physically. A picture of the spiritual reality as our souls are in contact with the rest of the world. The sin of the world, the thoughts of the world, the ways of the world, the sorrows of the world, all these things begin to become part of who we are. We too can become dirty, if you will, in our own sin. Now we need an initial good cleaning. However, we get dirty again. And we need constant, consistent maintenance cleaning, if you will. And the dirtier we are, the further we will be from our relationship with the Lord and his influence on us. The further we are from the Lord, the less like him we will be. And the less spiritual influence he will have on us, and the less spiritual influence, good influence, we will have on others. So Jesus is not going to be around much longer and to keep all of us straight, to keep these boys straight, these disciples. And yes, he's going to send the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of Jesus Christ to dwell not only with them, but in us as well. And the Spirit will convict them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. But they are going to choose, they have to choose to be cleaned up again and again. Now, a few weeks ago, there's a couple of quick lessons we learned. Number one is a spirit-filled Christian will be a submissive Christian. We'll have a submissive spirit's heart, a submissive servant's heart. And we see that as Jesus lays aside his garment and takes up the towel and starts washing the feet of all these disciples. Now, we've talked about this before. These disciples have been walking out in the world, in the dust, in the grime, and a lot of animal transportation. A lot of things are on that road that we don't want to talk about, but that has become mixed with the dirt and the clay, and they walk about these things, and their feet become very, very dirty. And he's washing their feet, and he's he's washing them in the water, and he's wiping them with the towel. Can you just imagine how dirty that towel becomes after the first couple of his disciples' feet are washed? And then that is, you compound that by as many as it was, it almost makes you wonder whether Peter even wasn't so worried about him washing his feet, but was so worried about being wiped with a towel. But I think he really wanted to be, he was saying, you shouldn't be serving me, Lord. And so the Lord, though, showing him and the rest of the disciples his servant's attitude. Number two, the second thought a couple weeks ago is, dirty people can't clean themselves. Dirty people can't clean themselves. Jesus answered, he said, what I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter said, thou shalt never, ever, ever, really with the way that word is, never, ever, ever wash my feet. But the fact is, Peter can't wash his own feet with his own sinful hands. It takes someone as pure and clean as Christ to wash us clean. It takes something that is clean to make clean something that's dirty. The clean must be sacrificed, if you will, and take on the dirt, just as Jesus took on our sins. The Lord laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all. And something that is already dirty will just wipe on more dirt if you try to clean it. We cannot clean ourselves. We need to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, to refuse God's cleaning causes us to remain dirty. Jesus said, listen, if I don't clean you, you can't have any part with me. And sometimes you think, well, I don't want Jesus to have to clean me. I'll do it all by myself. But the fact is, maybe it's good intentions, but if you cannot come into the presence of God Almighty without being made clean. And Jesus says, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Number three, we found out if you want to walk with Jesus, you need to be clean. In his verse there, it says, Jesus answered, it says, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. You cannot walk with me. You cannot share your time with me. You cannot be with me if you're not clean. Now, there's a two-part cleaning here. We talked about, again, a few weeks ago. We've got the initial cleaning, and we've got the constant follow-up maintenance cleaning, if you will. Now, we need a good, thorough cleaning to establish our relationship with God. The Bible says, ye must be born again. That's what he told Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration. The washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now that's not something we do over and over again. Jesus Christ dies once for all. But the fact is, nothing can enter the presence of God that would defile. Revelation 21:27 tells us that nothing can enter into the New Jerusalem, into heaven, if you will, into God's presence that would defile it. Whatever works abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. The fearful, and the unbelieving, and abominable, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and murderers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth fire and brimstone, which is the second death, separated from God for eternity. We must be washed by the blood. The Bible says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hebrews 9:22 says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, made clean. All the impurities are purged out. Purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. So we need to establish our relationship. We must be born again. But, so that was number four, we need a good, thorough cleaning, number four. Number five, we need continuous cleaning to stay in fellowship with Jesus. Now, the day I got married to my wife, I was all spruced up and all dressed up in a tux, and I had lost a little weight, and I was about as skinny as I had been, and had got a good haircut and a good shave, and I had a good shower, and I was all ready to go to meet my bride at the altar. I was all cleaned up, but it didn't take long until I needed another shower if I was going to be close to my new bride. And the thing is, we are saved by the blood, and we are cleansed, but the walk, our fellowship with the Lord, has to be a continual cleaning. Once I have had initial cleaning, I just need to wash off the dirt that has gotten on me while I have been walking in the world through life. Now, if that's the fact, then be honest with you, the first thing with that is we must admit we need a constant cleaning. There's an awful lot of folks who just kind of, they go on and believe it or not, they have all the thoughts and the actions of the world are kind of rubbing off on them and the things they have come on them, and they go on and think they don't have any idea why there's a problem. Almost like Samson. If you know the story, he finally gave away the secret to his strength, and Delilah had his hair cut. And he got up and shook off everything, and he went out thinking that he was going to do what he had always done and did not know that the Spirit had departed from him. Now, we're not going to lose the Holy Spirit because we're sealed unto the day of redemption. We're indwelt with, if you know Christ as your Savior, you've received him as your Savior. On the other hand, we can lose his fullness in our life and the fullness of joy. So we must admit that we need a constant cleaning. In 1 John 1, 5, it says this, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." Now, darkness there is basically equated with a sinful way of life, a sinful lifestyle. So you could say it this way. If we say we have fellowship with him and we're still walking in our sins and being rubbed up on all the sin, he said we lie and we do not the truth. We're lying to ourselves. Just like Samson, "Oh, I'm fine." And now realize that our fellowship with him is not like we wanted it to be. Verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light, according to the word of God, thy word is a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet. If we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son," here it is, "cleanseth us from all sin." Psalm 119, I believe it's verse 9, says, "How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed unto the word of God." All of our sins, both pre-salvation and post-salvation, are under the blood in initial cleaning. But wait, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, verse 8, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, and he's writing this to the brethren, the saved. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. In other words, we're not living by the word of God. We're not getting our truth from the word of God. So if we say, "Well, I'm not sinning anymore. I don't do that anymore," you're lying to yourself. So we must admit that we need a constant cleaning. But we also submit to the cleaning. Get under the water, not just wet the towel like a 10-year-old boy, but get underneath the water and let the whole thing wash you off. John 15 says, "I am the true vine." This is Jesus speaking. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it." What does that mean? He makes it clean. He takes off the impurities, the dead pieces, that it may bring forth more fruit. We say, "Well, God's using me." Yeah, but he's got more for you. If he can use us in the state that we're in, think what he can do if we didn't have a lot of extra baggage and burden and weights on us. Now, verse 3 says, "Now ye are clean," means purged, the impurities taken away. "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me." Psalm 119:9, I've mentioned that, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed there according to the word." And it goes on and says, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." Let me stay on your word. In other words, stay clean. But when we get dirty, how you get? Go back to the word and let it clean you back up. Verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." So when we find that we get into the word of God, we find that we've done wrong, then what do? We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to stay clean. My message here tonight again is the second part of that, keep clean. is what I've been talking about. Keep clean. Ephesians 5:24 says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, we're getting right down to the nitty-gritty here. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. What is the Lord doing to cleanse the church, to make it the bride that he wants it to be? Washing us in the word. Now, the fact is, if we're not willing to go take a bath, we're not going to get real clean. We should be cleaning ourselves every day in the word of God as we spend some time in the word of God ourselves. Every time the doors are open to church, of course, we can't do that now, but you're here with us right now. You're hearing the word of God preached, and as the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart, we need to take those thoughts, we need to take that conviction, if you will, and confess it. If there's something in our heart that we need to give back to him, we need to give it to him. Confess it. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So number six. Another thought here I want you to understand. Maintenance cleaning, that day-to-day thing, is not re-cleaning. Now there's some folks who have a doctrine that think, well, I've sinned so much, now I've got a problem. I can't go to heaven anymore. Now watch me. Zeal is good, but we need to have understanding. What I mean by that, I think some folks really mean well, and they feel like, well, I've really messed up. I need to take care of that. I know a lot of folks, when I've been out winning folks to the Lord, there's been times when I've gotten down to this question, this one little illustration I do, and I was caught in a crime, I got to the court. My father was the judge, and he pronounced me guilty, even though he loved me. And then he turned right around, and he paid my fine for me. He wrote it out in the check. Now, I asked this question. I said, now, if I want to stay out of jail, what am I going to have to do? And they said, well, you're going to have to do the best you can. I said, well, no. It's either 60 days in jail or a $5,000 fine. My father is giving me a check for $5,000. What do I need to do if I want to stay out of jail? Well, you got to start doing right. I said, that's not going to keep me out of jail. I've already messed up. What am I going to have to do? Well, you're going to have to pay your father back. I said, I can't pay my father back. I don't have any money. I can't pay him back. Right now, what am I going to have to do to stay out of jail? And finally, sometimes I get up to, well, you got to take the $5,000 and pay it off. I said, that's exactly right. And the fact is, that's what we have to do. If you want to be saved from your sin, you've got to have Jesus Christ pay for that sin, because we do not have, not by works of righteousness. There's none good. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And we can't pay our way or keep our way out of heaven. Only by the mercy of God can we be saved, because he shed his blood in our behalf. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that's that initial cleaning. Now wait a minute, once we're clean, we have everlasting life. How does an everlasting life ever stop? It can't if it's everlasting. Our souls are bought with a price, we're paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's nothing that's going to send us to hell, because our soul is now belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bought with a price. Now, some people say, well, you know, I appreciate him doing it, but I've messed up some, so I guess I'm going to have to figure out a way to pay for it now myself. You can't do that. What are you going to add to it? So I appreciate the zeal, if you will, but we need to have some understanding. Some folks believe that if you sin, you have to get saved all over again. Well, you can't get saved all over. You were saved. When Jesus died, he paid for all your sins from the beginning of your life to the end of your life. They're all paid for. Even if you never accept him as Savior, your sins are already paid for. Some folks believe that if you sin too much, you have to get saved again. Some folks believe that if the sin is too big, then it makes you get saved again. Some folks believe that if your sin was too purposeful, too determined, having full knowledge of what you were doing when you did it, that you have to get saved all over again. God knew all those things when he died on the cross and paid for your sin. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. what good is the sealing of the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 4 if the sealing is removed as soon as you sin? So he seals us. He puts his name on it. He marks us with a seal that we are his possession. Now, going along with that, we need to accept the continuous cleaning of the blood of Jesus, just like you accept the initial cleaning of your sin. Simon Peter, back to our passage there in John 13, verse 9. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, clean not up my feet only, but also my hands and my head. In other words, he's saying, well, if that's the case, if I can't have anything with you, if you don't clean me, then clean everything. And I'll be honest with you, I think he probably just kind of smiled about that. And in an effort to be right with God, I hate to say it, some folks go back to works. Some folks have good intentions and much zeal and are still not walking with God. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. What I'm saying is this. He said, well, then I need to be saved all over again. No, everything's cared for. You're clean. Just wash off the daily dirt. Wash off the daily dirt. Some folks will try to get saved over and over. They forget that the Lord had the sin of the world on him when he died. All sin was paid for. We do not have to crucify Jesus again and again and again and again because we have sinned again. Listen, the sin may be new to us, but the sin is old news to Jesus, the omniscient one, the omnipresent one, the one who knew all about it when he was hanging on the cross, the Alpha, the Omega, the first, the last. It's old news. And when he died on the cross, he had that sin in his mind. He already knew you were going to sin. It was cared for. Oh, we didn't see it coming, but he saw it coming. You break the law at one point, you've broken the whole law. And I'll guarantee you, every person who's ever been saved, ever breathed a prayer to receive Christ as their Savior, has sinned again since they got that prayer prayed. If you've broken the sin, you've broken the whole law. Listen, we are not only, he didn't just die for the sins we talked about. He died for us, a sinner. We can be very devoted to Jesus. I think Peter was devoted to Jesus. But we can be very devoted to Jesus and have much zeal towards him and still not be spiritually discerning. Peter was obviously devoted to the Lord with both zeal and love, and yet Peter had little knowledge and understanding of spiritual truth. Listen, if Jesus paid for your sins with his own blood, what in the world could we add to that? If that's not going to cover at all, our little pitiful efforts to pay for our sin is not going to pay for it either. Number 7. Confessing our sins. Now watch me. Confessing our sins does not wash away our sin. You say, we're supposed to confess our sins and he's faithful just forgive us our sins and cleanse them. Hang on. Just confessing them doesn't wash them away. Verse 10 in chapter 13 of John. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed, and that word washed there means to bathe the whole body, a good bath. He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean. But not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore, said he, ye are not all clean. He says, he that is clean or washed, bathed, only needs to wash. That second word is a different word, which means to clean up a particular spot, like washing your hands. We've got a lot of that going on these days. Everybody's talking about wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands. Put your hand underneath the water for 20 minutes and for 20 seconds, and like you're singing happy birthday twice. That's what the Surgeon General says here in Pennsylvania. Actually, I must sing much slower because I didn't get through it once in 20 seconds. But anyway, wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands. Why? Because you will probably infect yourself and everybody else. Now, it's interesting. Again, I did not plan this, but the name of my message here is Keep Clean. That's what we're hearing every day, all day, the last few weeks, and probably we'll hear for the next few months. Wash your hands. Wash, wash, wash. Because what's in the world is going to kill you if you don't be careful. Now, just saying you need to be clean doesn't clean you. Just giving out the announcement that you need to be clean doesn't clean us. We can talk about it all we want, but we have to submit to the cleaning. We got to admit we need a cleaning. We got to submit to the cleaning. And the cleaning is the washing of the water of the Word. It's a confessing of our sins to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, watch me. What Jesus was about to do when he was going to wash their feet was to teach them that once they are saved, all they need is daily cleaning. However, daily cleansing is of no value if you have not taken the initial thorough cleaning. Jesus was going to wash the feet of Judas, the one that would betray him. He was going to wash the feet of Judas, and he did. He washed his feet along with the rest of the disciples, but Judas was still not clean. He says, if all just let me wash your feet, you'll be clean. Every whit, but not y'all. Because he knew who would betray him, because he said, therefore he said, ye are not all clean. Judas could wash his feet and wash his feet and wash his feet and wash his feet and wash his feet. But he was not ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. We must be washed. Let me say a few things here. Joining a fellowship of believers, a church, is not enough to make you clean. You may go to a fellowship. Of course, we're hoping in a few weeks here, we'll be able to get all back together again. We need to do that, and I hope you'll stay with us here on air as through the next few weeks. And really, no one has excuse not to get these messages now that we're going to have them down and be downloaded and archived. But going to church is not enough to make you clean. Professing Christianity is not enough to make you clean. There's an awful lot of people who think they're Christians because they're American. Some people think they're Christian by a process of elimination. They're not Hindu, they're not Muslim, they're not Buddhist. Not anything else, they must be Christian. Now, one time, Christianity was so profuse, if you will, that it was almost an assumption, if you weren't any of those others, that's what you were. Well, that may be part of a religion. But to know for sure if you died to go to heaven, it's a personal decision between you and Jesus Christ to accept His death on the cross is full payment for your sin. Just professing Christianity is not enough. Now hang on. Running around with other Christians is not enough to make us clean. We might be making some of them a little dirtier, but they're not going to make us cleaner. Nothing can make us clean but the blood of Jesus Christ and then the constant washing of the water of the Word. Being lumped in with other Christians in the eyes of the world is not enough. The world looks at us, well, you're Americans, you must be Christians. So you think, well, I must be a Christian because they said so. Now, that's not the way it works. Hang on. I'm a Baptist preacher, and I'm all for folks getting baptized. But baptism never saved anybody. It's a picture of our acceptance of salvation. But the fact is, you can go through the picture and have never done the accepting. Chances are, to think about this, he says, if I clean your feet for everybody here, you all will be clean. You don't need to clean everything else. And so you'll all be clean. Well, except not everybody, knowing that Judas would betray him. Now, this is the end of 3.5 years of the ministry of Jesus. I don't have any hard evidence of this, but it kind of just makes sense. If you go back and study, it talks about how they baptized. John the Baptist baptized a baptism of repentance. It says that Jesus' disciples baptized, though he didn't baptize anybody in particular himself, his disciples baptized people. Now, if that's the case, is it possible that Judas has been living and serving and walking through life with Jesus for 3.5 years, and Judas has not been yet baptized? There's a good chance that Judas was baptized like all the rest of the disciples probably were. They were baptizing others. Certainly they wouldn't have let that go by. But he was not clean. Was not saved. Taking communion is not enough. Judas had just taken the Lord's Supper with Jesus Christ himself. He said, here we are at the table. But he says, you are not all clean, because he knew who would betray him. Salvation takes a deeper cleaning than that. But once you're clean, there is a matter of staying clean. And let me give you a couple concluding thoughts here. We can be saved and not be fully clean and have the fullness of joy. I think there's an awful lot of Christians who go through life, and I think they're saved. There was a time in their life they realized they needed to be saved. They accepted the death of Jesus as full payment for their sin. They trusted him as their Savior. The Holy Spirit comes in, indwells them, and seals them to the day of redemption. But that's as far as they go. Or some maybe go a little further than that. Or maybe some do all right for a while, and then they just kind of get out of the habit, and they start getting into the world, and they get dirty. I don't know about you, there's been a couple times when the electric has gone off, and we have a well at our house, and no electric means no water. And I remember a couple times we went a day or two with no water. And I tell you what, for someone who's accustomed to taking a shower every morning, I mean, head to toe, not having water is an uneasy feeling. All of a sudden, you just kind of feel dirty. I don't feel as happy. I don't feel shiny and clean. And I just want to get a shower. Just feels so good when the water finally turns on. Everybody wants to go in and get the shower and just get cleaned off. Now, folks, there's some folks who walk around dirty all the time. I remember years ago that every once in a while you see some kids come to school, you knew they hadn't taken a shower for a week. And you think, how in the world can they live that way? Even as a kid, I wanted to stay clean. But they're used to it. They're accustomed to it. And they don't see any difference. But I tell you what, when you've been clean before the Lord and you've lived that way for a little while, a little bit of dirt takes the shine off your relationship. And before long, you realize you need a good cleaning. And we can have that. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, every time I stand underneath that shower head and turn on the water, you know what? I get cleaner. It just happens that water is faithful. It'll come, even sometimes, but don't scrub too hard. It'll start washing off some things all by itself. There's been a few times I've been out and working in the yard and get all kinds of leaves and grit and grime all over me, and just getting in there and standing on the water, all the water starts getting brown right there at the bottom of the shower just because of just the water washing over me. Then, of course, then I want to scrub and get as much of it off as I can. But we don't have the joy that we could have if we do not have a clean relationship with Him. We can be saved and not be fully clean and have the fullness of joy. In 1 John 1, verse number 1, it says this: That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled, of the word of God, speaking of Jesus Christ. For the life was manifested or shown, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now, what are these things that he's writing unto us there in 1 John, that your joy may be full? Well, I've already discussed it with you. He says, I've said, I'm writing you these things so that your joy may be full. And then it goes on into, the fact is, let me get the right one here. He says, this then is the message which we have heard of him, and declaring to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And so we need to be clean. We say we have no sin, we make him a liar. And so we get right back into that passage. He says, you want a fullness of joy? Get clean. You want fullness of joy? Let him wash you up. Let him clean you up. So you can curl up on his lap and have that relationship that you want. Listen, we're in a time right now, the last thing we want to do is allow our relationship to get cold, to wax cold. What we need to be doing is getting closer to him, warmer, snuggling up. Listen, he's not going to get the virus. Snuggle up to him. Don't do any social distancing with the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay right there with him as close as you can. Jesus, quiet, watch. Jesus is clean and shining. In 1 John 1, 5, it says, this then is the message which we have heard him, declaring to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Jesus is clean and shiny. But if we want to be close to Jesus, we've got to be clean and shiny too. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So the same blood that saved our souls from hell also keeps us clean when we apply it to wash our daily sins. It says, in the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Did we lose it? If we try to believe and make others believe that we are clean and shiny with no dirt of the world on us, Bible says here we're deceiving ourselves and we don't have the understanding of God's word in us. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Listen, that's just like a 10-year-old boy who just came in out from outside playing and says, well, I don't need to take a bath, I'm fine. And he said, well, how could he think, how could some little boy think he's fine when I can see the grit and the grime behind his neck, and behind his ears, and on his hands, all over his face? He's filthy from head to toe, and he says, I'm fine, I don't need a bath. My goodness, that's what we do. We've been living in the world, we've got the sin of the world all over us, and we're just as dirty as we can be. But we don't see the sin for some reason. We get used to being in the dirt. So do pigs. If we go ahead and admit that we get dirty on a daily basis and need to apply the water of God's cleansing word and apply the prepayment already made for us by the blood of Jesus, our record is wiped clean and our fellowship is restored with the Lord. He says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we try to claim that we don't need to be washed, that's what Peter said. Oh, don't wash my feet. I'm okay. I mean, I got a little dirt on there, but I'm just fine, Jesus. Don't wash my feet. It's more important that you don't serve me, Lord. Really, what we're doing is we're calling Jesus a liar. Because he said we need him to clean us, and we need a constant and repetitive cleaning, and apparently we don't know the word of God and believe him. If we say that we have not sinned, verse 10 in 1 John says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. I hate to say it, if you think you're just fine, you don't know what you're talking about. There's an awful lot of folks who feel like they got saved once and that's all they need. Well, I took a bath once, but I need them every day. Sometimes more than once a day. if I got myself in some place that got dirty. Let me summarize some things here. Have you allowed something to come into your life that would make you look dirty if you were walking close enough to Jesus for him to see you? You know, from a distance, we can all look pretty good. I remember as a child, there's some times when I remember as a kid saying, well, I don't think I need a bath tonight. And my mom said, come here. Let me look. I didn't have to get too close before he said, oh my, you're filthy. You go in there and get a bath. If we walked up close to the Lord and he could see our heart, and by the way, he can because he's inside of us, would he see the dirt? Confess it, forsake it, and mercy will be applied, and you can be whiter than snow. We need to keep clean. Keep clean. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed unto the word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The water of the word cleans us up, and it's the water of the word that keeps us clean. Again, if you've watched any of these things on TV about the virus, you hear from the state, you hear from the national doctors as well, and they're saying, wash your hands often, often, often. Wash your hands often. Don't touch anything with the dirty hands. Wash your hands often, over and over again. We need to have, in fact, the Bible says we ought to cleanse our hands. Mourn over our sin. And cleanse our hands. Let me see if I can find that just real quick here. James 4, verse number 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now watch. Draw nigh to God. How do you do that? Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Keep clean. Stay under the spout of the water of God, the Word of God, and allow it to work in your heart, convicting you. Then confess any sin that shows up in your water. Confess any sin that shows up in the water. You stand in the shower, and all of a sudden, all the dirt shows up down there in the bottom. Confess it. You got to confess it because you're the only one in there, and here it comes. But let it go down the drain. Confess it and throw it out because it's washed by the blood. Now, yes, we need to be willing to serve one another, and we need to be willing to be clean. We need to be clean before the Lord in order to be able to be used of the Lord. And thirdly, we need to help clean up others rather than just complaining about our brother is dirty. Now, wait a minute. That doesn't mean we're supposed to be sticking our nose in everybody else. He told the disciples when he washed their feet, now I want you to do this with each other. There are several things. One is he said, I want you to serve one another. Later in the chapter, he says, we're going to know that you are my disciples because of your love for one another. We are to speak the truth in love, and in love we rescue one another. Just as they're saying right now, keep yourself clean. So it's interesting how they're saying this, and I understand. They're really saying those who are have compromised immune systems and those who maybe just aren't up to par anymore, and especially some of our older citizens, it's not the virus that kills you. It's the pneumonia and the other things that come along because of the virus. As your body tries to fight the virus, and it builds up the fluid, and it's the pneumonia and the respiratory issues that often kills the people. So for young folks, they don't even hardly even notice it. But they're telling us, hey, listen, we need to stay clean, even though it's not going to hurt us, stay clean so we don't pass it on to someone else and they die. Listen, folks, if you're not going to stay clean for your sake, spiritually, before God, stay clean for the sake of those around you. We don't know who may be drug into perdition because we didn't bother enough to stay clean. You don't want anybody else coming around and flagrantly giving you the virus or anything like that. And we think, well, as long as I'm fine, there's no big deal. It is a big deal. First of all, we don't know for sure if we'll be able to handle it. But secondly, we certainly don't want to give it to somebody else who can't. We need to keep clean. It amazes me how the Lord put things together. And in the midst of everything we're going through, that's exactly what the message is on TV, keep clean. And, of course, I started this message 2 weeks ago, and the Lord knew that I was going to end up finishing this up tonight. Keep your heart clean. Keep your spirit clean. Keep your life clean. If not just for your own sake, for those around you, for the little ones, for those who are maybe a little weaker, but for most of all, listen, to keep that relationship clean before the Lord. He said, if I wash you not, you can have no part with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time together here this evening. And we thank you for the opportunity to be in your word. And Lord, this, of course, has been a very unusual day. And this is a very unusual time for us to begin something such as this. And yet, Lord, nothing passes into our existence without first going past your desk. You know exactly what's going on. You know what is going on in the hearts of each person and their response to this. And I can't help, Lord, but to think that maybe you're trying to get our attention, as we spoke about this past Sunday night. This is not the worst that's going to come. I personally hope that the rapture's come and we're gone before the worst comes. Well, Lord, I also know that you'd be more than glad to lift all this, I think, if your people, which are called by your name, will humble themselves and pray and seek your face, get cleaned up, turn from our wicked way. You promised to hear from heaven and to heal our land. I do think you're trying to get our attention. Lord, I pray for our nation. Pray for our people here in this area specifically, for the ones in our county that have contracted this virus, and Lord, put a hedge of protection around them. Protect our folks. Keep us safe. Make us wise. Lord, help us to do our part, stay clean physically. But in a time like this, we have opportunity to be a blessing to others, maybe even at a social distance, over the phone, calling across the fence. Lord, may we be clean before you spiritually as well, to be used of you in a way that glorifies you. And Lord, when it's all said and done, may many come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through these times. As we look back through history, Lord, we've seen that some of the greatest work and the great awakenings and greatest moving of the Spirit were in difficult times when you got our attention. And in Psalms, when it says, turn us, O Lord, turn us, it means sometimes you're having to do some things to get our attention so that we will choose to turn to you. Put your hand on us, Lord. We thank you. And we ask for your blessing. For those who are making decisions right now, hear their prayers and use us for your honor and for your glory. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. I appreciate you being with us this evening, and I hope this has been a blessing to you. Now, this coming Sunday morning at 9:30, we will be back up and hopefully even have a little upgraded system, and I think it will be a blessing to you. We'll have 9:30. We'll have Sunday school from this pulpit at 9:30, 10:30, Sunday morning service, 6 o'clock p.m., again, the evening service. And we'll be back again on 7 o'clock next Wednesday. And Lord willing, you will also be able to catch those at other times, but we will be here live at those times. Now, if you have any questions, any issues that you want to talk to us, please call the church. We have prayer requests. Of course, we can't make hospital visits right now, but we would like to know if you're in there, and we want to pray for you. The hospital won't let us make visits, allow us, but pray with requests. If you've got other questions, the Lighthouse Christian School, you call for the scoring and all those. I think you've gotten that information. And we are glad to be able to service as much as we can and within the context of what our limitations are. So God bless you. We'll see you next time. Until then, may God richly bless you.